We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
I was thinking about it because I want us to really understand what it is to prepare in room. And so let's prepare our hearts real quick as we pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have a word. Father, we thank you that this is something that we can dig into your word and find out more about you and what you would have us do this season, Lord God. I pray that you would help us to be more like you, think more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Tis the season to prepare him room. How much time do we give to things in our week? You know, when I was in Bible college, there's a verse that talks about numbering our days, how we should number our days. God numbers our days and how we should number our days. And I had the absolute joy of doing a project where I had to write down what I was doing every 15 minutes for a week. It was horrible. So every 15 minutes, you had to account for what you had been doing. And then at the end of the week, we would take all of that and basically say, well, this much percentage of my week was sleeping. This much percentage of my week was studying. This much percentage of my week was serving. This much percentage of my week was going to a job. This much percentage of my week was hanging with friends, you know, and just having to break it all down. This much, but at the end of the week, this is how much I focused on showering and brushing my teeth. And like all of a sudden, I'm like looking at my life in a pie chart. It was weird. But the fact was, it helped me understand, what can I cut out to give more room? What can I, you know, because we need margin in our life. We need some extra flex space. Have you ever tried to be, I don't know if your job requires it or if it's maybe you moonlight as a creative or whatever, but have you ever tried to be creative overloaded? It's hard to be creative overloaded. You need some margin in your life so that you can tap into something different. But in this season, it's about preparing him room. We live chaotic lives. We live, and not to say that they're negative, it's just it's crazy busy. We live busy lives. Apparently you don't. Do you live a busy life? I'm not the only one. We live busy lives, but we have to determine what we're going to major on. Because I think sometimes the world, we major on the minor things and we minor on the major things. We don't give adequate time to the things we should be giving time to. And we give way more time to the things that we shouldn't be doing. You know, if I had done, I was looking back at some of those things. And nowadays, with all, I mean, even in the change of the, whatever, 15 years or 13, whatever it was from college and all that stuff. When I look at that, I look at it and go, man, even now, but that pie chart would look different because if I was going to school right now, how much of my pie chart would say Netflix? How much of my pie chart, you know what I'm saying? Like when you start to think about the things, it's crazy. There's an app for everything. You could probably do that project on an app. But the point is, am I preparing him room? What does it mean to prepare him room? It's creating space for him. It's creating this season more than any other season should remind us it's not about stuff. It's about the substance of Christ. It's not about, what the world would put on the pedestal. It's you need to understand we need to create him space. It's creating margin in your world. It's seeking him. Look what it says in Jeremiah 29:13. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, I'll make sure you won't be disappointed. That's God's decree. Amen? So who in here wants more of God? That's the question. Who in here wants more of God? Because he says it right here. When you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else. God, I want more of you when it fits into my schedule, when I find time. You can give me more of you. Like there's an express lane for you, right? Like there's a way to, like, is there an Amazon for that? I'm a Prime member, you know, so it can come to me quick. You know, like, well, there's got to be a way that I can do what I'm doing and still get more of you. No. It says that when we seek him more than anything else. When we seek him more than anything else. I was like, oh. Okay. Have I prepared him room? Number one, have I prepared him room in my schedule? Have I prepared him room in my schedule? Proverbs 16:1 says we can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. How many people in here are there? They are admin focused. Like you are good at, you know, you are good at making sure you know what's going on. You're checking your schedule days ahead. You know, when's happening. You know, this is there. There's that. Hey, what's happening on Wednesday? I don't know. It's Friday and Wednesday's a few days off. That's some people. This person's going, well, let me check my schedule, You know, and they look through it and it's like they have every 15 minutes planned. You would have done great in college. But listen, they had every minute planned. They were great at making plans. And so the point is, though, where is God in your schedule? Oh, like, oh, I can tell you, he's on Sunday morning between 9:22 and 10:37 unless Pastor runs over. Seriously. When do we make time, when do we make room for God in our schedules? We all have the same amount of time in a day. We all work the same amount of days in a week, or work with, you may work more, but we all work with the same amount of days in a week. But here's a question for you to ponder, sitting by the fire with your hot cocoa and your really awesome Metro Church mug. I don't know about you, but hot cocoa needs a big old scoop of fluff on top. Forget the melting of marshmallows. Go straight to fluff. It's like it's kind of like the it's kind of like the French onion soup of sweets. You know, just pull out the lighter, crust the top. Okay. Anyway, but when you are fireside sipping your hot cocoa, you need to ponder this question: how intentional am I at preparing room for God in my schedule? How, God, how much time do I actually set aside for you? Well, you say, I'm a busy person. Well, have you told God you're too busy for him lately? Because that's what you're saying when you're not saying it. Like, God, I have too much to do to give you any time today. Wowza. You know, for some, it's more convenient for them to set up a a specific time to create routine in their life so that they don't, miss it, And I'm not saying you have to be rigid in your schedule, but the fact of the matter is for some people, it's easier for them to say, hey, I'm having some time with God over a coffee. Some people are saying, I can't do that until I have coffee to have time with God because it just doesn't work before that. You know, whatever you are, maybe some of you are like, hey, I'm going to, I'm going to do it over exercise or the gym, and I'm going to die to self while I'm listening to my podcast or whatever you do. But the point is, you just need to have a time. Maybe it's after you put the kids to bed or you put them down for a nap, or, you know, single moms, take advantage of spending time. If you're at home with your kids, take advantage of creating a space in your home for you to be able to, you need God's help if you're raising kids. Invite him in, okay? So the point is, it's not about when you do it, rather if you do it. Prepare him room in your schedule. Maybe for you, that's actually starting to be consistent at church. Like, okay, I'm going to consistently come to church every week unless I'm really sick, right? Unless there's, I was talking with somebody recently and he's like, well, what's like a, what's a good reason to miss church? And I was like, there's rarely good reasons to miss church. And it's not because I said so, it's because it's God's house. And I don't like to stand him up when he's expecting me. Like, that's just the way I think about it. And so I'm like, all right, well, if you're sick, please don't come. I don't need you, passing on. You know, thank goodness we don't welcome everyone with a holy kiss these days. I don't need whatever you got. I don't need it. But the fact is, there are times where, yeah, you should stay home. But that doesn't mean you don't open your Bible. Do you not know how to feed yourself? Are you still waiting for someone to give you a bottle? No, spiritually, we got to feed ourselves. Well, where do I start? Google it. Scriptures on anxiety. Whoa! You live in a technological age. You can figure it out and know what's great about it. I'm saying it because it really is that easy. Like, you can get into your word. I was encouraging someone after service. They said, man, it's been a struggle. I said, well, have you ever considered doing some devotions about the thing you're struggling on? And they're kind of like, and I can understand. That's not easy for someone that doesn't understand where the Bible is and how do you open it and read it. And I was explaining, look, there are apps. the Bible app that I carry. You know, it's for free on your phone, and you can find devotions in it that talk about specific topics. But even if you don't have the ability to do that, just Google it. And then make sure it's in actually the Bible. Don't just read a blog of somebody who had an idea. But have I prepared him room in my schedule? Number two, have I prepared him room in my thoughts? Have I prepared him room in my thoughts? 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says this: rejoice always, praying continually. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Thinking about Jesus, when I think about Jesus, it stirs me to go to the throne room with God in my prayers. When I think about Jesus, when I think about what he's done for me, when I think about the relationship I have, when I think about the access I have to our heavenly creator, when I think about that, it stirs me to want to go to the throne room in prayer. And when I go to God in prayer, because I'm in prayer, it makes me want to continue to think about him. It makes me want to, you know, I pray about something and I start moving, and the minute doubt wants to creep in, I remembered what I just prayed, and more importantly, who I just prayed to. And it keeps my mind right. Keeps my mind right. Thinking about Jesus stirs me to go to the throne room in my prayers. Look what it says in verse, because we're talking about making room. Preparing room in our thoughts. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says this: we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You have the ability to decide what you think about. And you go, well, that thought just came in my head. Well, that thought can just go out of your head. Act like you're trying to study and it will go. You act like that thing that just came into your head. I mean, young people, yeah, you know how hard it is when you're studying for something. It's like the more you try to study something, it's gone. The point is, the minute it comes, you know, there's an old adage that says, you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep it from nesting in your hair. Well, the same thing, the same idea with a thought. A thought will come, and you know what? Having a thought is not a sin. Entertaining the thought is a sin. Having the thought and taking captive and just saying this doesn't have place, because anything, how many people have ever dealt with, you know, I would say the computer issue, but, you know, I don't know. How about this? How many people have ever dealt with a camera phone being too full to be able to take another picture? You know, like you have this awesome opportunity to catch this lifetime picture and it's like, cannot take any more pictures. Click on preferences to manage your storage. And I was like, well, there goes that bald eagle carrying that trout over Marlboro. Where did it get that trout? That thing was eating the trout on my house. Murga. Like, whatever it is. But the point is, when you have it full with too many other things, you don't have room. There's no margin. You have not prepared room for an opportunity. You have to prepare room in your thoughts. If your thoughts are too full with anxiety and worry and struggle and all the things of this world, how are you going to prepare him room? You're like, God, I need more of you. And all of a sudden it's like, N-n-n-n-n. You need to manage your storage because you have not prepared any room for me. We got to prepare him room. Take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Every time we take captive that thought that we shouldn't be entertaining, when we cast aside negative thinking that does not help us, we prepare him room in our thoughts. Think on things above, yes? So one of the biggest things that we can struggle with that, like I was saying, that can take over, can seize our mind is worry. It's anxiety. You know, what's going to happen tomorrow? Well, the Bible says, let tomorrow worry about tomorrow. You got enough to think about today. You know, don't worry about tomorrow. When you prepare him room, you will have faith for dealing with your tomorrows because you remember who holds them for you. Number three, have I prepared him room in my conversations? Have I prepared him room in my conversations? That's kind of like a, well, do I talk about Jesus? What does that mean? Look, words carry weight. They do there's power in what we say, and there's life and death in the tongue. That's what the Bible talks about. You know, years ago, I preached a message on hallway homicide and how in passing, we can either encourage and bring life to somebody in passing in our hallways, or we could destroy them with our words. Our words create power, and the words you speak over your life are even more powerful. The words that you speak in conversations are powerful. When you speak doubt into someone else's situation, you haven't helped them any. When you speak doubt into your own situation, you haven't helped you any. We have to understand that our conversation should be breathing life. It says this in John 6:63. It says, the Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I've spoken to you are spirit and life, Jesus said. The very words I've spoken to you. So my question is, if we're supposed to be like Jesus, our words should be spirit and life. If we're speaking his words, because it's not about what you said. It's not about who you are. It's about who you carry and the words that you speak. Do you realize the only thing that is blessed is God's word? God has to bless his word. He cannot go against his word. So if you start claiming his word over your life will be blessed. If you start living your life based on his word, your life will be blessed. If you start choosing to speak his word in your conversations, your relationships will be blessed. Have I prepared him room in my conversations? Am I speaking words of life to others? Am I giving credit to God for the good things that he has brought me through? Perhaps sharing with others what he saved us from. You know, it would be another good thing while you're sipping on your hot cocoa in front of that fire with extra fluff. Is to actually sit down and take a minute and write a list of all the things God saved you from. Remind yourself how good he is. You want to go a step further? After you write down all the things he saved you from, you know your thoughts. You know your struggles. Why don't you then make another list of what he saved you from just by knowing him? Because if you did not have him, you would be entertaining those things. That would be an interesting list. Then I want you to look at all the things he saved you from and digest that. Then burn that thing. Burn it. But remind yourself what he saved you from, because the more you remind yourself what he saved you from, when you see that person that is struggling, you know that God is big enough for them too. But the question is, have you prepared a room in your conversations? Will you speak about him? Will you speak about the good things he's done? Psalms 145:6-7 says, your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. Every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness. Preparing him room in our conversations is easier when we prepare him room in our thoughts, in our schedules. See, they stir a reminder of how good God is, what he's done for us, and how much he loves the person I will be sitting next to. Because if he loves me this much and he's not a respecter of persons, he doesn't favor me over others as far as the way that he loves. Yes, if I'm obedient to his word, I will receive favor beyond others. But it's not because he loves me more. It's just because he blesses his word. And I've chosen to live a life aligned with his word. So when we start to think of how much God loves that person, and how much God doesn't want to see that person sick, how much God doesn't want to see that person depressed, how much God doesn't want to see that person struggling, maybe then we would speak up a little more. Maybe then we'd create more room in our conversations. Let's make some introductions in our conversations. Let's introduce people to the idea that there is a God. Let's introduce people to the idea that he's a good God. Let's introduce the idea that he loves you even where you're at now. You don't have to become something to receive his love. He loves you so much, he'll pull you out of that and create you to be something better than you ever were. But it's not a precursor for him to love you. When we start to dismantle what people think about God and we start to build up who God really is before them in our conversation, it sows seeds that when you're no longer around, they're thinking about it. And when they start to think and when they start to ask and when they start to seek, they will find God. He's there. Isaiah 63:7 says this: I will tell of the Lord's unfailing love. I will praise the Lord for all he has done. I will rejoice in his greatness, our great goodness to Israel, which he has granted according to his mercy and love. Let's be talking about his goodness. Prepare room in the conversation. Good. Number four, have I prepared him room in my budget? Whoa, he just brought him money. Here we go again. Is he going to pass the buckets again? Should I? Did you miss? No, we're not passing the buckets again, but we're going to talk about something Jesus spoke a lot about. People don't want to talk about money, but yet they want to talk about their problems, which has a lot to do with money. What do you want? Have I prepared him room in my budget? Not do I randomly toss something in the offering occasionally. Not do I claim I tithe through time. Well, that just proves that you don't understand what tithe means. Because tithe is the first fruit of your increase. And so unless you've increased in hours in a day, which would be very interesting to understand, you can't tithe through time. Tithe is a financial thing. And why on earth would God require us to do a financial thing? Because he knows wherever our treasure is, our heart is also. He knows where, you know, we treasure the thing that can get us what we want. We treasure that thing. Okay? And so because of that, God goes, well, seeing how I gave you the skill, seeing how I blessed you with opportunity, seeing how everything, 100% of what you have is because of who I created you to be able to do that thing you do, to be able to get that thing you have. You can keep 90%, just bring me back 10. And do you know that's more of a test than anything else? How many people did not like tests in school? How many people wanted to graduate school? You don't have to like a test to know that it's needed. You don't have to like a test to know that you have to do well on it. But what I do know is that when we choose to be obedient and prepare him room in our finances, he prepares something better for our future. He can, when we're obedient, he can trust us. You know, I was thinking about this. Do you realize? I was like, man, when I thought about this, it was one of those moments where there's some people probably more faithful in tipping their delivery guy than they are bringing God his tithe. I just thought, goodness gracious, God, I want to make sure when I stand before you, I did everything you asked. Not that I was perfect, but that you saw my heart and I didn't lie to myself and I didn't talk myself out of the thing that you clearly were calling me to. God, I just want to be obedient to your word. And so we got to prepare him room. Are you following me with this? Did you know if the church that claimed Christ prepared him room in their giving, they actually brought God what was his? The church globally would never have to make special calls for giving to be able to help special situations. Tsunamis would hit and there would be money to do what we need to do. The Red Cross, as amazing, all those people would have the funds they need to do what they need to do because the church would rise up and be the church. Too many churches aren't being the church, so the church then has to call on the people that are being the church to be more for those that don't have. See our society? If we would just rise up and be what God called us to be, if we'd be obedient, he would bless us all the more. We would never lack, the Bible says. And I don't want to lack. The Bible says, you know, we think, well, if I have all this seed in my hand, I'm good. But actually, the Bible says, unless the seed hits the ground and dies, it cannot produce. So for the farmer that chose not to sow anything this year because he wanted to hold all of his seed is now dead next year because he has nothing to eat from. We sow for our future. Prepare him room in your budget. Are you following me? And when I think about Christmas, I think, man, this is a time of season that is about giving being far greater than receiving, which was ultimately exemplified in Jesus' birth. The other thing I think about is that wise men took the journey to bring their gifts to Jesus. They took the journey. Wise men and women should take their journey to get beyond themselves and bring their gifts to Jesus. It says in Matthew 2, 10 and 11, when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They opened their treasure chests. Where your treasure is, your heart is also. they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. See, what you need to understand is they didn't go and look in their camel to see what was left over. They opened their treasure chest to give. What's even more amazing about this is that these wise men journeyed for what is believed to be years to come see Jesus. When you look at it, most theologians believe it to be about 2 years. And the reason is that's exactly why King Herod said, we're going to kill every boy 2 years and under. Think about that. That is a journey. We've got to do our own journey. Wise men and wise women still bring their gifts to Jesus. Wise men and wise women, they still make the journey to find a way to bring God what he deserves. And they don't just pull it out of what's left over. They bring the first fruits. Are you following me? Trusting God is a journey, but obeying God is what builds trust. That is why God tells us to test him in this. Because if we will be obedient long enough to test him, he will then be able to prove what the floodgates can be in your world. The Bible says that he opens up the floodgates. Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. I told you it was a test. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. When's the last time you went to a dam? You know, I've never been to the Hoover Dam, but I've seen a lot of movies that have it. It's pretty big. Can you imagine, you know, they always have these gates and stuff to be able to release water for pressure's sake. You understand how those work? Yeah, it's the floodgate. So can you imagine standing in front of the floodgate and having somebody push the button to open the floodgate while you stood there at the Hoover Dam? Now imagine that was blessing in your life. It says that he will open the windows of heaven. He will open the floodgates over your life. But you gotta do well on the test. It's crazy. Did you realize by not trusting God and moving in obedience in your finances, you are the one locking the floodgate over your own life, your own family, and your own future? Different perspective. Anyway, all to say this, you need to prepare room for him in your budget. Brian Houston of Hillsong Church, he picks up the envelope on a Sunday and he lifts it up and has the church do the same thing. And he says, now repeat this after me. Lord, no matter what I say or do, this is really what I think of you. And you think, oh, that would never happen at Hillsong Church. Yeah. And the church is growing because when people test him, the floodgates open up. Okay, just a thought. Number five, I'm moving on. Number five, have I prepared him room in my home? Have I prepared him room in my home? Joshua 24:15 says this, but if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer to the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. There was no room in the inn. When I think about this, because it's, are we preparing room in our home? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. When I think about Christmas, there was no room in the inn, but there was room in the manger. And I kind of thought like, yeah, I mean, I understand he's running a business and it was full and that's fine. He had to go to the manger. But I also started to think a little bit further about how the Bible says it's really, really difficult for the rich to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Doesn't mean that wealth is wrong. It just means that normally when you have no need for God because you have a God, which is the green, you don't necessarily see the need for God, and so it's hard to overcome those things. I mean, goodness gracious, we would all like to have more wealth, and if God can trust you with it, he'll bring it to you, right? But what I do know is it made me start to think, like, just like there was no room in the inn, but there was room in the manger, oftentimes there's no room in the mansion, but there's still room for God in the studio apartment. Just a random thought that had nothing to do with my message, but anyway. Maybe it does. You can decide that, but I'm going to come back. Anyways, we are preparing him room in our home. It's one thing to welcome Jesus in, and it's another thing to give him attention. When's the last time you invited someone over and then acted like you didn't know? Maybe you really didn't know, you forgot. You know, I kind of, this didn't happen to me, but I have this kind of little story in my mind where someone shows up and you had invited them over. And I don't know why I think of like old school times, but like you open the door, ladies, you're in your curls, your hair curls, got your robe on. You're like, oh, I didn't know you were coming. I forgot. Come on in. You know? Then you're like, you walk over and you're stepping over things because you didn't prepare the room. And you're like, sit here. And you're like knocking everything over, like getting it off to clear a spot for them. Just sit here. I'll be back. And then you run into the bathroom and you're like trying to talk over your hair dryer. I'm trying to entertain you while I clearly wasn't prepared for you. It's like we invite Jesus into our home, but do we give him any attention? We walk in and we toss our Bible on the nightstand and it sits there until Sunday morning. Do we give him any attention? Just because he's welcomed in does not mean you've prepared him room. We got to prepare our homes for him. It says this in Luke 10, 38, 42 through 42. It says, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had taught, but Martha, was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. Look what Jesus said. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. How many of you are just too caught on the details? There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Too often we can get so busy serving Jesus, doing something for Jesus that may even have credibility, that may even serve a good purpose, but we forget to prepare time to sit at his feet. We are people, we like being in control. Is there anyone in here that likes being in control? You know, you're like, yeah, I'm a control freak. That's what I do. Control things because I'm good at it. And what I'm good at, I do. I do it because I'm good at it. It's an awesome cycle. That is my life. The fact is this. We love to do things because they're in our control. We can control making sure this is prepared or that's prepared. We can control, we can make sure that we succeed at that thing. But God isn't worried about that. He wants you at his feet right now. When you go home, you've got to have some at his feet time. You got to have some of that. And you know what? When you've had enough of that, God will tell you to get up and go. God will tell you, you know, you're like, well, Chad, I haven't served in the church for 3 years because I'm just having some sit at his feet time. Like, you're not hearing from God then. Well, I'm just trying to repair my wounds. Well, my God heals people in instants, and he has the ability not to have you sit for 3 years when he's called you to do something with your life that's bigger than your life. Come on, we're called to prepare him room. And so let's prepare him room in our hearts. Forget decking the halls. Begin checking your halls for signs that Jesus has room in your home. Is there, you know, is your Bible, when's the last time your Bible's been opened? Is it on the nightstand? Is it, you know, is it around? Is there a podcast or a message or a praise album that's recently been played on your phone or your playlist? When is the last time you prayed for someone in your home? These are good questions. They're just things for us to consider, to talk about. My kids, you know, they ask me to pray for them all the time and Julie to pray for them all the time. They believe that God changes things, that God has the power to fix things. And so, you know, Riley will get up and before she goes to school, she'll ask me to pray for her because her stomach hurts or whatever. The point is we've created a place where there's room in our house to talk about God. Now, I understand you may be in a home where there's division, and that's not the case, but you can speak loud by just doing something, not saying something. Prepare room. What time are you spending with God in your home? Number six, have I prepared him room in my relationships? Have I prepared him room in my relationships? How do I treat others? How do I take care of those in my world? It says in Ephesians 5, 21, out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. Basically, don't be a jerk. Don't do things just because they benefit you. Don't speak only in a way. Like we just have to prepare our relationships to have room for him, because are we actually shining a light Are we actually showing the love of Christ in our relationships? What do our relationships do? Are they people that pick us up or bring us down? What you need to take inventory of your relationships. You know, I've heard it been said, show me your three closest friends and I'll show you your future. That's a pretty strong statement. But oftentimes there's a lot of truth to that. When we don't represent him well in our relationships, we have not welcomed him into those relationships. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, that it says a lot between 16 and 20, and you can read that, write it down, read it on your own time. But it says right here that the old life is gone, a new life burgeons. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationships between us and him and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. How are we taking care of our relationships? You know, another thing is the relationship healthy? I've thought about this. I've heard this, and it resonates with me. Do you realize most of the people that we call lifelong friends, or most of the people that we call close friends, they're actually only friends because of convenient intersections in our life? You happen to be born the same year, so you happen to go to school with them. But are they good for you? You happen to run into this person, or you, these intersections in life. Look, you can love all people, but it doesn't mean all people are going to help you in your relationship with God and help you into the destiny and the future that you have. You know, Jesus had 12, but he had three close. Who are your three? Are they helping you on the walk in life? Or are they just convenient intersections that you've held on to because they were comfortable? Just a thought. We need to choose to draw closer to him. Number seven, have I prepared him room in my workplace? Proverbs 11, 1 and 2 says this. God hates cheating in the marketplace. He loves it when business is above board. The stuck up fall flat on their faces, but down to earth people stand firm. The fact is this, God hates cheating in the marketplace and he loves it when business is above board. Have I made room for Jesus to come to work with me or to come to school with me? Am I doing it the right way, or am I trying to find shortcut for success, which would actually hurt my integrity and my character for the sake of success? Am I doing it above board? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Have we prepared him room in our workplace? Because you shine a light where you go if you do what Christ asks you to do. Right? Or are you the kind of person that shines your light on a Sunday morning and when Monday comes, you've brought your little basket with you to work and you've covered your light for the sake of, well, I don't want to affect my relationships here at work and I don't think they know Jesus. That's the reason you should talk to them. If they knew Jesus, you'd probably already be talking about Jesus. But what I've come to realize is Jesus didn't call us to do comfortable things. But he definitely showed us how to do it when he did uncomfortable things for us. Yes. Come on, we got to be more like Jesus. Number eight, as I close with this, and the keys can come back. Have I prepared him room in my heart? See, all the other things, it really comes off of this idea. Have I prepared him room in my heart? Because inevitably, the only person that can make a decision for God is you if it's about your life. The decision is yours alone. Have I prepared him room? See, if we accept him into our heart, if we prepare him room in our lives, it's in those moments when everything is dark, it's in those moments when everything hurts, it's in those moments when you feel all alone that you're reminded you're not alone at all. In fact, you're still perfectly set in the hands of the one that holds your tomorrow. And he has good plans for you. Have you prepared him room? Would you?
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.